Welcome back to Housewarming, your inside look at real Irish homes transforming for a greener energy future. I'm Kim Buckley, and this week we're chatting to two women about two very different homes. Fionnuala Jones, or Fionnuala J to her online followers, is a podcaster, broadcaster and sustainability influencer who's been renovating a house she bought in Dublin. After many years of renting, she's now living in a warm, cosy home, and she's even become a bit of a DIY or SHEIY expert after turning her hand to lots of the projects that needed doing. Then, from a Cork woman in Dublin to a Tip woman in Cork, we headed to Jacob's Island, where I caught up with homeowner Niamh Kent, who's living in a semi-D. Niamh, like Fionnuala, was also renting and looking to buy, but in Niamh's case, she and her husband got the chance to actually buy the house they'd been renting for the previous 4 years. And that's when the renovation work began. Before we get to Niamh's story, though, let's go to Fionnuala, living in a series of freezing apartments and hoping one day to be warm. Okay, so Fionnuala J, Fionnuala Jones, what do I call you?
You can call me whatever you want, girl. Whatever you want.
Okay, Fionnuala. Welcome to Housewarming.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us in the podcast studios. I'm very excited to have you here.
I'm excited too.
Okay, so let's just get into it. You're from Cork, very proud of it, but you moved to the dark side.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, moved to Dublin. Fell in love with the Dub. So, I mean, and a lot of work was up here. So it kind of made sense. And I've been renting in Dublin since college. I graduated in 2016 and I've just been up here since and fell in love with the city as well. So, I mean, it made sense.
Fair enough. Okay. Welcome to Dublin.
Thank you so much.
You're an honorary Dublin girl. So tell us about the house hunt and where did you rent and how did you end up where you are now?
Oh, so we had rented here, there and everywhere. I'd have had every experience. I've been in an apartment, I've been in houses, I've been semi-detached, end of terrace. I mean, you name it. As I said, came out of college and was kind of living all across the north side. Had a lot of fun, but there was a lot of moving involved. You know what I mean? I don't need to be on this podcast talking about the housing crisis. I'm sure people are aware, especially in rental properties. We were very lucky with where we were. As I said, I was renting in the city for a while and then moved into a place in Glasnevin, so not too far away from where I am now. We were there for 3 years and like loved it there, but it was a home that, I mean, it needed a lot of work. It was, I don't know what year it was, but I'd say pre-90s at least. Big house, we had a lot of space, but very cold. Very, very, very cold house, unfortunately. We were there for 3 years, pandemic happened, we ended up having to move. So we moved over to Ashtown. We were there for a year. At that point, me and Keane were starting to realise, look, we do want to buy together. Let's figure it out. So we were kind of between his parents and a few other kind of short-term rentals, which was, I mean, we were very lucky to get it, but it's very stressful, that precariousness and kind of not knowing where we were going to go next. And then we started the house hunt. I think it was the start of 2023. And we knew we both wanted to stay Northside because it's all I've ever known, really. He's from Beaumont.
So it's the best side.
It is the best side. Yeah. I agree. I feel like, guys, look, Southside, I get it. You're close to sea, whatever. But I just...
We have the sea on the north side.
True, true. I just feel like sometimes the south sea, like they're more accessible to us.
Yeah, yeah.
So we were looking around there. We were looking around Beaumont and kind of around there, like Colester, loads of those other places. I will say it wasn't kind of, it was stressful in the sense that you were looking at houses and they were going for kind of mad money and bidding wars were really frustrating. But like we didn't actually end up looking at a load of houses. This house that we ended up getting, we went and it was a rental property previously and the tenants had gone out but they had pets, so there was a cat there and the cat was kind of mooching around and then I was seeing, I have a cat, people aren't aware, so I was kind of taking that as a sign that like this would be a place that we could all live and like Whiskey could live there and it would be so nice. And I think we were one of the last people to view it and we just put our bid in and we took our chances and as I said, we got very lucky. There was a long period of being sale agreed and waiting to move in. But as I say to everyone who's kind of in the process of looking, you forget about that when you have the four walls and you can feel them with your hands. And
yes,
you're like, it was all worth it.
And did you walk in and go, this is my house, I want this one? Or was it just like, oh, you know, it's in our budget and look, we'll put our bid in? Or was the cat a sign and you were like, this is it?
I kind of really took the cat Yeah, as a sign. I don't know. I miss that cat. I really took it as a sign. Like it did help. It was in our budget. It was in a commutable area for both of us for work. Really accessible for me. Getting on the M50, getting back to Cork and all that. We had site access. We had a nice big garden. We were also two people who we had kind of been looking at doer uppers, like really into intensive projects. I'm talking like bottom to top, everything needed to be done. And funnily enough, I think now I'd be more capable. But obviously, you are saying that with like 2 years down the line of being in your own house and kind of doing it up yourself. But at the time, we were both kind of not reluctant to commit to something like that. Neither of us would have, and Keen won't mind me saying this because he'd agree, like not a huge amount of DIY experience, like very green to all that.
So it's a newish house you moved into.
A newish, but yeah. So I think they were 2008, I think.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And I followed you. I've been following you on social media for years. And I remember you sitting in your living room and you were very wrapped up. So you would have been quite cold in all your rental accommodations.
Oh my God. They were all... Just when I think back to it now, and it's never a thought that I have with this house, we're so lucky with how it just keeps the heat in a way that the rental properties never, ever did. And you were right. I would be in pajamas, dressing gown, blankets on the couch. It was just...
It looked cold, to be
it
honest.
It was cold. And I think it was just whatever way the house had been laid out as well. It was just... Like, it was one of those houses that if you moved into it, like, you'd knock the kitchen and, you know, proper windows, proper doors. Like, it was just... I would... Because we were there for 3 years, which is the longest I'd been in kind of any rental property. And I just remember... You'd have a great summer and you'd feel the calendar rolling around and the sheets flying off in your head and you're going, oh my God, it's getting into October and we're going to have to start lashing the heating up and getting the oil and all that, and then just feeling the cold, or coming home from work and the house is freezing, like it was...
Yeah, and the duvet tog value going up and up and up.
Like, honestly, crazy.
So what is your BER now in your current house?
So we're a B3.
Lovely.
Which is the best, I think, out of anywhere. I'm not sure that first apartment I lived in, no idea what that was. But I know when we were in Glasnevin, and I think later when we were in Ashtown, they were like low Ds, if not lower again. Because they were just, again, built pre-2000s, probably even older than that. I think the house in Glasnevin could have been an 80s build and had been untouched since then. Mm-hmm. And as we said, freezing. Not sure about Ashtown, but yeah, very, very happy with that. And that was one of the reasons why we wanted that house, because it was... Obviously, we can bring it up further, but like B3 is a great starting point to know that I'm not going to be absolutely freezing my extremities off. You know what I mean?
You can say tits. Okay, so that's great. So you're in a B3. It's warm and you can feel, I suppose, the house keeps the heat in, you know, all, you know, you don't have to turn the heating off and immediately, boom, you feel the heat leaving the living room. You can pump the heat and it will hold on to it.
Yeah, and the way our house is, you can isolate each floor as well, which is really good. God, it's just when you've been through so many rentals and been in those situations where it's like, it's not a house you want, it's a house that you can't even like decorate and do up yourself, and you're like, it's not even going to be here forever, and you're sitting there freezing. It's so frustrating. And we've had so many nice, like cozy nights in our new sitting room, and just not having to fear turning the heating on, like knowing that it's like economical, and it's such a good feeling.
It looks like we made it.
Look up while we come. Yeah.
Brilliant. That's deadly. So you're B3 and you fell in love with the house. You know, you're there now. What is your favourite thing about the house?
That's a great question.
The warmth?
Thing about my house? The warmth. I do love the warmth. We have a really gorgeous kind of bay window out our front. That's maybe not the architectural term for it. I'm sure Dermot Bannon is somewhere correcting me, because it's not round. It's like square.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's so gorgeous, and we have our little green armchair in the corner there. It's stunning. I love our garden as well. Like, Keane's done a lot of great work with as much as I feel like I'm now handier with the house stuff, and Keane is really good at gardening in a way that I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been growing lots of different things. My dad gave us a blackcurrant bush. He had tomatoes one of the years. So that's been really fun, like being able to like grow bits of your own food and like grow something from the beginning and then have the finished product has been very exciting. Garden is definitely it's not where we want it to be fully finished, but it's to have the space that we do in Dublin is such a blessing.
Brilliant. And you're going to be, you're going to have a kitchen garden and be living off the land.
Yeah.
Anytime I mean, soon. I mean,
crossed.
How more sustainable can you get than
truly,
that?
I'm trying, girls. I'm in any way I can. I'm trying.
So your house, it's fairly new, but obviously you want to put your own stamp on it. And you're in the middle of, I suppose you are renovating, like slowly you're painting. I saw you were painting your kitchen and trying to put your own stamp on it.
Yeah.
Where are you on that journey and what's next?
So the funny thing is that nobody tells you when you buy your home is that, I mean, unless you have loads of money and loads of time, which mm-hmm. most people don't have both, let alone one, it's a slow process and you'll be kind of moving at a pace, trying to do things up slowly but surely, kind of getting to know the space and be in the space and kind of figure out what you want from each room and the house as a whole, whatever. So I thought at this point we'd have way more done. Like I think there are still a lot of rooms maybe by our living room that lack a lot of character, unfortunately. But I mean, we also got engaged in the meantime and have since gotten married and weddings and everything else. Like, it's been an expensive time in our lives and just very busy. So we have done a few little things. I think our sitting room is kind of done. As you said, I painted our kitchen units because budget wise a new kitchen just kind of isn't in it for us. We, in terms of actually doing up the house, I think we could look at an extension. Our neighbours have extended recently and they've done a really good job with it to kind of bring the kitchen out further and have more of a kitchen dining room mm-hmm. per se. But that's on the long list. On the short list at the minute, I was like, right, I hate this glass kitchen. No offence if you have a glass kitchen. I just didn't like it for us. And I kind of wanted something more 70s, kind of 80s feel, which is so funny because I feel like with trends, you know, we went so far out of that to like the, again, the grey velvets that I know people, I feel like, are going back the other way and trying to reclaim colour in areas and stuff. But anyway, painted the kitchen.
Orange.
My gorgeous crushed orange. I love it. I'm hoping to tile the backsplash myself at some point, again, to try and save a few bobs. I've been looking at salvage yards and kind of other places that maybe I could get tiles and like do something kind of cool and unique as well. Again, that remains to be seen. Check in with me in 6 months. Our bedrooms as well, I would love to kind of get that to be a bit more. They're not as cozy and as well. They're warm, like literally. They don't feel very warm in terms of their like styling and stuff. So I'd like to get them to a better place, I think.
And you did paneling.
I did paneling, yes. Oh my God, the paneling is the best example of thinking you have time for a project and you absolutely not having time to do a project, because that took, paneling is not hard. If anyone takes anything away from this podcast, paneling is not hard and like anyone could do it, especially with the kits that the hardware shops sell now. Like, it is literally as easy as 1, 2, 3, like paint by numbers, but it's paneling on a wall. Like, if you're sticking wood onto a wall and gluing it, easy peasy, putting in pie. Mine took, people were messaging me on Instagram being like, is that paneling? Are you ever, like, I'd just be talking about something completely different and they were like, is the paneling done? I was like, the paneling's not done, okay? Sorry. Things have fallen by the wayside. But I did do it, and you know what? I did a pretty good job. I'm pretty impressed with myself, so.
So the paneling went well. Was there any DIY disasters?
No, but don't they say it's third time's a charm or something? Because I feel like the kitchen took a long time as well. The kitchen was a lot of talking about it for ages. Mm-hmm. And then eventually, so we had that kind of coating that you have on units. I don't know what the correct terminology is. And you can paint over that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Depending on what you want to do. But ours was starting to peel. So Kian started peeling it off. And then I was getting annoyed because I was like, I'd do it. This is my project, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Then we ended up doing it together. So we had kind of the bare MDF for a while I started kind of plotting and choosing colours and stuff like that. And the wedding was coming up. I love a hard deadline, girls. I said, if this needs to be done by the wedding, it will be done by the wedding. Absolutely. Will I be stressed off my head? Absolutely, I will. So I did that. And honestly, everyone who's come around has said, like, and I know they're surprised, which does kind of kill me, but they're looking at the units and they're like, you actually did a good job with that. And I'm like, yeah, I did. I know I did. But yeah, look, the tiling, I think, could maybe be a DIY disaster, but we'll see. I'm thinking I'm going to go for kind of square or like easy, easy from a maths and geometric perspective.
The smaller the tile, the harder the job. Remember
yeah, we're
that.
Not going small. Yeah, I think go we're going to do like a kind of a maybe a black and white square checkerboard.
Oh, lovely.
Or just like a white kind of subway.
And another tip is, I learned the hard way, is the darker the grout, the less you will have to clean.
Yes.
Because, oh my God, white grout, it just... Yeah. It just goes brown, pink, whatever colour, it's rotten.
There's a girl on Instagram and she's another great one for colourful interiors. Her name's Colourful Saz, and she did, it was either like hot pink or like very cerulean blue.
Grout.
And it looks clash in your utility room.
You mentioned grey velvet. Do you have any other design or interior design icks? Or what are you like, absolutely not in my house?
I'm just really not into monotone and like kind of monochromatic. Well, sorry, monochromatic, I think when you're using colour, I think is fun.
Yeah.
Do you know what gives me the ick is people being afraid of colour and people being a bit like, I don't know. Every time I come into that kitchen, even though again, it's still not finished, I'm looking at those orange units, I'm like, they just fill me with warmth. That's just... Oh, gives me such a good feeling. And even our living room is, so we did our living, the living room was the only room that we did whether we knew what colour we wanted. And we went a really deep, like ocean kind of, like navy, but like not as dark as that, kind of like a little bit more brightness to it.
It's like dopamine dressing, except in your house.
Yeah, we did that and we had like an orange leather couch. Green leather couch, excuse me. Green leather couch, green armchairs. And then we did kind of like yellow accessories. And again, it's the one thing where people come. My friend was visiting recently and she hadn't seen the house because she's been away. And she called over and she was like, I love this sitting room. It's so nice. I feel like we just nailed like exactly what we wanted to do with that room. Just like deep and cozy and cavernous.
So is that your favourite spot in your house?
Yeah, I think so. We have another little corner. We got nice shelving units done for our vinyls and our books and stuff like that. So we have the other armchair there and it's next to our drinks trolley and we have more vinyls on the wall. Like we're very quintessential millennial with the way we've designed it, I think. But I love it. It's my favorite.
Yeah. So in terms of upgrades and energy upgrades, your house is B3 and that's brilliant. Mm. You know, you have a warm and cozy house, but we can always do better.
Yeah.
So on your list of, you know, home energy upgrades and getting your home as energy efficient as possible, what would you like to do next?
We really want solar panels. We would love solar panels. My parents got them. I don't know how long they have them now, but they have them a while. And just the difference they've seen in terms of heating their water, like the electricity bills, like they are just constantly...
They're rubbing it in your face.
Yeah, no, exactly. I was being polite. You're being correct. Okay. They are rubbing it in our faces. But they're like, the bill is or whatever. And I'm like, raging. We'd love to do it. Again, it's kind of on our longer list. Mm-hmm. We're trying to maybe get the house aesthetically together. And then we'll definitely look at something like that. Because, you know, like sustainability is something that I'm really passionate about. And I'm kind of like, if we can make the changes, why wouldn't we? I've had a bit of experience driving electric vehicles recently as well. And I love them. And again... It's kind of such a box tick for me because I drive so much. It would be great to have one full time. We don't have a charger at the house. That would be something that we would love to get as well.
And the solar panels will charge the car while you're sleeping.
Circular, baby.
Yes.
Keep it circular, baby. We love it. Yeah, we'd love them. But in terms of timing, money, I'm not really sure. I think now that the wedding is kind of coming to be out of our minds and we'll have a little bit more free time to kind of look at the house and actually entertain, you know, prioritise and think of projects and what we want to do. I think it's something we'll be kind of seriously considering.
Great. And you have a heat pump as well, which is incredibly sustainable, incredibly energy efficient.
Yes.
And that's keeping your home at a steady level, heat.
Yeah. We love our heat pump, but we do need to upgrade it, unfortunately. But again, on the long list of jobs.
Okay, but you're doing better than most. I mean, B3 is good and getting better.
Yep.
And your house is obviously insulated, but is there anything more that you could do to make it a bit warmer?
I think we would like to further insulate the attic. I think maybe even an attic conversion, maybe down the line. Well, I would love that. But again...
Okay,
on
so
the
you
list.
You do have plans to possibly extend, convert your attic, and that's all something that you can bring up to spec then and bring the BER level even higher, you know, because obviously you'll get new windows and they'll be all really well insulated. Yeah. So what is the goal for in terms of energy efficiency in your house?
I mean, you know, I love a challenge. You know, how do we get to an A1? Like, you know what I mean? That's, yeah. I'm looking at that and I'm like, how do we get there? But look, anything in it, I think anything in the A category would make my heart sing and would just make me feel a lot happier and contented myself. Like, because it's easy to be doing the work in the smaller areas with the fashion and stuff and everything like that. But yeah, it's something I would like to strive to. Now, I can imagine Keane listening to this podcast and going, are we planning to extend? But we are, sweetie. It'll be great.
Absolutely. There's always a plan in there. Never one to shy away from a challenge is our Fionnuala. And we talked loads more in this interview, including her work on sustainable fashion, her design style and plans for the future. So you'll need to check back in later for that one. We're heading down to Cork now, where I met Niamh in her lovely home in Jacob's Island and chatted about her family's transition from being long-term renters to owners in the same house.
Niamh, welcome to Housewarming, SEAI's new podcast. Thanks for having us to your gorgeous home out in Jacob's Island in Cork. It's a lovely big four-bedroom house.
Yes.
And yeah. It's detached, is it?
Semi-D.
Semi-D.
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels big in here.
Yeah, it is. It is quite spacious, to be fair. And it's, yeah, we got very lucky with yeah. it. So
you have a big happy. Hallway and then you're into the left is a nice living room, dining room with doors, and then your kitchen out the back. And then there's four big bedrooms upstairs.
Yeah.
Well, the front one you don't think is big enough for a bed.
The box room. The box three room. Big bedrooms.
So, Niamh, tell us how you ended up here in Jacob's Island. You're not from Cork, you're from Tipperary.
Yeah, I'm from Tipperary. I went to college in Cork many years ago and met my husband back then. So I used to play hockey with UCC and he was friends with my hockey coach at the time and it just went from there. So I met my husband back then. We've lived all over. We lived in Dublin, we've lived in London, we've lived in Australia, but him being from Cork, we were always going to come back to Cork. That was never really an option. So we moved back during COVID. So it's about 5 years ago now. We had a one-year-old and a four-year-old with us. And it kind of all evolved organically. We didn't really know where in the city we wanted to be. We had a general idea, but my son was due to start preschool and he just by chance got an opening in a school in Ballinlough. So we knew we wanted to be somewhere around there. It was quite difficult at the time to find anywhere to rent, as it still is. But a friend of my brother's was moving out of this house. They'd just renovated a new house and he was putting this up for rent. So the timing just worked out perfectly. Literally within a couple of weeks of being back, we were in here. The thought was that we would rent maybe for 6 months or a year and then we'd have bought our own house, but it didn't really play out like that. So it was 4 years later, we were still looking. There was we were looking at houses kind of around Blackrock, Ballinlough, but we were being outbid on things that were in need of complete renovation and we didn't have the time or the money to do that, and we were being outbid on them anyway. So yeah, it was a long process. There was my husband changed jobs kind of in between while all of this was going on. So that put delays on the mortgage approval. And there was just so many things kind of went on. So, but 4 years later, anyway, our landlord, we always knew that he wanted to sell it. Mm-hmm. And 4 years later, he rang me one day and said, look, we're selling the house and I'm not kicking you out. But just to let you know, when you do find a place, give me the heads up and we can get the ball rolling. And then in the next breath, he said, unless you want to buy it. So we jumped at the chance. We lived here for 4 years. We knew the house inside out. We knew the area. It's a little bit further out than we want to be. We want to be a little bit closer to the kids' schools and activities. But we have the greenway on our doorstep so we can cycle down to the marina. And there's an awful lot of positives to living here. So it just worked perfectly for us. And it was such an easy process.
No moving out.
Yeah,
no
exactly.
No packing boxes. Yes. You're here already.
Yeah, exactly.
So overnight you went from tenants to owners.
Yes.
And you didn't have to move up from the couch.
No.
And what was that like? Did you feel different knowing that this was now yours? And I suppose you had more responsibility then and you knew what you wanted to do and what needed to be done.
it definitely felt different. It was a huge relief because even though we knew he wasn't going to kick us out, there was always that pressure of it was somebody else's house and we knew he wanted to sell it. And there's always that fear that you're going to end up homeless because we just couldn't find anywhere that was within budget and that was kind of anywhere remotely near where we wanted to be.
And that was 4 years you were house hunting and being outbid and looking for homes, and it just never worked out.
No, it didn't. It was just the price of things. And I mean, a lot of people say, well, then move somewhere else. But if we had moved out of the city, then that's even more commuting. And we were trying to...
And you're uprooting your kids then as well.
Yeah, exactly. And that was something we didn't want.
You have two small kids.
Yeah.
What ages are they?
6 and 9.
Okay. Yeah. So you kind of want to... They've established friends and...
Yes. And we're in school. My son had started school and we didn't want to do that. I'm working like a 10-minute cycle from here as well. So there was an awful lot of things keeping us here. Where we're living here is actually ideal for my husband. He needs to be on the motorway a lot. So it was... It works brilliantly for us here. So we did not want to have to move out. And as it happens, like living here in Jacob's Island, we're slightly out from the city, but we're only 10 minutes from where we really wanted to be. But it's an awful lot cheaper in terms of house prices. Mm. So it just made sense for us to go with it. And
okay. And you've lived in the house for 4 years previously, so you know the difference in bills. So tell me how much around you're saving now monthly.
So we would have been looking at about... So the bills come in every 2 months. So every 2 months we'd get a gas bill that was at least €200 and we would get an electricity bill that was at least €200, depending, obviously, maybe slightly lower in the summer. Now we're looking at, the gas bill has gone down to €10 for 2 months because we only have the hob now. We don't have, obviously, central heating gas. We'll eventually get rid of the gas hob, but for now it is what it is. So that's €10 over 2 months. That's nothing. And then the electricity bills are still around about €200. And I'm not sure how that works because the heat pump is obviously working off the electricity. But we got an electricity bill there for the summer and it was €130 or something for 2 months. So gas and electrics in the last couple of months has been €140. So that's huge.
And did you pay the bills beforehand? Did you see how much they were before the home energy upgrade?
So before the energy upgrade, we would have been looking about €400 for gas and electricity over 2 months.
Yes. Yeah, so it's almost half that then.
Yeah. Even less, I'd say, some months.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
It's kind of an invisible upgrade, I suppose. You've got new vents on the walls, you have two new lovely big rads, you have your heat pump which is behind a door, you have your cavity walls which we can't see, your attic insulation we can't see, but you can feel the difference.
Yes, and that's a massive thing, is being able to feel it.
And you got the work done in November, so you have had 4 really freezing cold winters and a few months of the winter just gone.
Yes.
What has the difference been like?
Oh, it's been phenomenal. It's like we got the stove put in because we wanted to block off the drafts from the fireplace, but we really liked the stove because it's too warm. And particularly this room is not huge. So if you have the fire on and, you know, the heating is going, it's too warm. You have to open all the doors. But also another big plus to it all is the heat pump runs continuously. You set your temperature and you leave it alone. You don't touch it. You don't turn it off. You don't do anything to it. So it works itself. It gauges the temperature. There's thermostats upstairs and downstairs. It gauges the temperature itself. When the temperature drops below what you've set it to, it kicks in. Mm-hmm. When it stays steady, which it does, it just turns off. So there's no messing around with turning heating on and off. And
before you would have been watching telly and been like, I'm a bit cold, pump the heat.
Yes.
So now you don't have to think about it.
No,
you're just warm and cozy.
Yeah.
And you have plenty more warm and cozy winters. Yeah. You're going to have plenty of warm ones for you and your family here. And you've also got warm hot water then continuously.
Yeah, so that was another thing. When you wanted a shower, you had to boost the hot water. So you might have had to boost that a couple of times a day, depending on who and how many people were having a shower, whereas now there's just continuous hot water. It heats up to a certain temperature, it turns off, and the water tank is really well insulated, so the temperature of the water doesn't drop very much, so it stays hot.
Your home energy upgrade, you didn't do anything cosmetic to the house, and you have been living here for 5 years. So what is the plan? I know it's gorgeous now. You have lovely floors. It's been freshly painted. But you did mention that you wanted to get an extension.
Yeah.
So what is the plan? This is obviously your home for the foreseeable future. And you have grand plans. You want to get new windows and doors. Yeah. What else do you want to do to the home?
So we want to do the bathrooms. I mean, it's really comfortable as it is. It's perfectly livable and it's very comfortable. But we want to make it ours. We wanted our own house for so long. And we fought so long and hard to get here. So the bathrooms, particularly the bathrooms upstairs, we want to retile and kind of redo to our kind of style and taste. The carpets badly need to be ripped up and changed. But again, we don't want to do the carpets before we do the other work because you're just going to create more mess and ruin the carpets. And then the big thing is we want to extend at the back. So we've quite a big garden out the back and out the side.
You have a massive garden.
Yeah, it is huge.
It's like a football pitch out there.
It is, it's huge. And we're really lucky because in the city you just don't get that. And in terms of even where we are now, like our garden is far bigger than either of our neighbours. We're on a corner plot, so we're really, really lucky. Mm-hmm. So we can extend and it won't create a tiny garden. We'll still have a big garden. So the utility room that we have is not very functional. It's a really tight space. It just doesn't really work for us as a family. And even the kitchen as well it's quite small and a little bit awkward. There's whatever design and layout they did with these houses, there's a little bit of navigating around. I'd like something open.
Yeah, you're kind of cut off. You have a dining table in there, but you're slightly cut off from it. And
yes.
You want to be able to cook your dinner and watch your kids
exactly.
Eating theirs. And, you know, I totally get that, especially with a young family. Open plan living, I suppose, is more suitable, I suppose.
Yeah.
And where are you getting all your ideas from? I suppose you're probably plotting and planning and favouriting things on Instagram. What are you looking at? Instagram, Pinterest, everything?
Yeah, all of those. Yeah. House is another one. Have you heard of that?
No.
House app.
Okay.
So I get emails from them regularly telling me, you look at something and it'll give you ideas based on what you've looked at.
Okay.
So House is a good one. It's a good app. So yeah, just getting ideas. And Instagram would be another big one.
So you're manifesting your dream kitchen, but for the moment, your home is perfect for you and your family at this time. It's nice and warm and cozy. Where is your favourite spot at the moment? I know it will be in your gorgeous new kitchen when the time comes, but at the moment, where is your favourite spot?
So at the moment, it's probably upstairs in our bedroom, because when you look out our bedroom window, you can see the water. So there's been some mornings when I've woken up, because of the way the sun rises, it actually rises in that spot. So it rises over the water. We're looking directly at it. There's been some mornings I've woken up to see people canoeing past on the water, or the ships. You see some ships coming in that way. So that's, again, it comes back to
nature.
Is it
the River Lee?
It's the River Lee, but it's kind of out there is called Loch Mahon. So
okay.
It's where the sea comes in, but there's a big lake kind of area. I'm not sure what the geographical term for it is, but it's a huge body of water. And then it comes into the River Lee. So you do get a lot of ships coming in there to the Port of Cork and things. So that's really stunning to look at, particularly when the sun is rising there in the mornings. So that's probably my favourite spot.
Gorgeous. And can you walk along there?
Yes. Yeah. So just when you walk out of our house, there's a path that goes down to the Greenway, and we've got our own little gate that goes out onto the Greenway, and that brings you right down to Black Rock. And there's a loop, so you can run, walk, cycle that loop. It's about a 7 kilometre loop. Brings you right down to the marina. So we can cycle down to the pubs and shops in Black Rock, and we've got Porky Cueve down there. You can get to town quite easily from there, Marina Market. So everything is...
So even though it wasn't originally where you wanted to live and buy your house, it actually has ended up being perfect for you and your family.
Yes, exactly. We like to cycle a lot, so we get out with the kids on the bikes and things. And because you're directly onto the Greenway, there's no issues with it. You just get on your bike and go. Whereas if we had bought in Black Rock, which is right by the marina, you still have to navigate the roads because it's not, the houses aren't on the Greenway, whereas here we are. So it's worked out perfectly. Yeah.
And a home energy upgrade is one of the most sustainable things one can do to play their part in, this energy transition in Ireland. So that's something you've ticked that box. Mm-hmm. But are you sustainable elsewhere in your life? Is that something that you're mindful of?
Yes, 100%. I'm not sure where it comes from, really, but it's definitely ingrained in me. I hate waste. I'm very conscious of what I buy. I'll plan my shopping and things meticulously to make sure that there is no waste. And I'd kind of prepare meals and things so that there's no waste or it gets frozen, or we're meticulous about separating our bins and things. Even in terms of buying clothes and things, I'll always really think about things a lot in advance before I mm-hmm. will do it, and think about the impact it'll have.
And how about secondhand fashion? Is that something you're interested in?
Definitely, yes. Yeah. I'm not on Vintage yet because I had it set up in the UK and my app is still set to the UK. So I'm trying to...
Vinted has bankrupted me, I have to say. Yeah, like I'm trying my best now and I'm like, oh, I'll save some money, but I am absolutely bankrupt. It's completely addictive.
Yeah, oh yeah.
100%. And I am flat out thinking I'm saving money and I'm actually just in debt because of it. I can't stop.
So maybe it's a good thing that I haven't been able to get my Irish account working.
Probably,
I'd be quite minimal anyway in terms of fashion, because I almost think the more you have, the more it takes up your headspace as well. I'm like, if I have too many choices in my wardrobe, then it creates a headache getting up in the morning. Yeah. Whereas if I have less to choose from, it's much easier.
When did the home start feeling like your own? Was there a moment where you were like, okay, this is it. I own this house.
I think it was when we did the work. So when we did the energy upgrade and when we painted it, because it was, now there was a bit of our personality in it and it wasn't somebody else's colour choices. And it was like, those were the two big things for us. And once they were done, it was like, now it's starting to feel a little bit like it's ours. And like I said, just being able to hang up pictures. And again, we haven't done a huge amount of that. Mm-hmm. I'm almost afraid to put a hole in the wall because we were renting for 20 years. We were never allowed to do anything to anywhere we ever lived. So I suppose there's still a little bit of that you almost don't feel like it's yours yet. It takes a bit of time, but...
You need to put Diana Ross on. It's my house. Yeah. And I live here.
So that's it for this week's episode of Housewarming. Thanks for listening, and I hope you've been inspired and entertained. We'll be back next week when I'll be chatting to Leinster and Ireland rugby star Ryan Baird about his renovation plans, and with Kieran McCarthy all about the more technical questions you might have. If you'd like to find out more about any of the grants or schemes mentioned on this episode, you can head to the SEAI website, and there are links in the show notes. And we also have a special bonus episode on the feed all about the government-backed home energy upgrade loan. So check that out if you're getting serious about your renovation plans.